All right. See if I can get this thing set here. You know, there's a lot of things that I'm pretty even keeled about, and there's other things I get excited about and emotional about. And I just have a strange way of looking at a lot of things. You're like, yeah, we know. That's why we're here, because we all do. But it's like when I used to play golf. Golf used to be my religion. I haven't played in about 4 or 5 years. And I never got really excited when the ball got really close, never got a hole in one. You know why? Because the expectations every time I hit that ball was to go in the hole. And so everybody get real excited, and we're like, hey, it just went in the hole. I kind of feel the same way about miracles. I tend to go the other way. I go, well, why didn't that happen? Because I really think that if God put that power upon me and I lay hands on somebody and they got up and I raised the dead, I'd be like, well, yeah, that's what was supposed to happen. I don't think I would be one of those people who would just be running around because that's what was supposed to, right. That's what was supposed to happen. And it's kind of funny because Pastor Scott tells a funny story about when he was in Iceland, I think, when they were the congregation head up there. And there was a woman from the town who brought her little infant up there, had a club foot. And he started to lay hands and pray, and he said he could feel the foot start moving in his hand, and then the toes started wiggling. And then and when he took his hand away, the foot was completely normal. And his wife went, I can't believe it! She verbalized it right there, you know. It's like, so what did that say about faith? God did what he did. And I'm not saying she didn't have faith. It was just kind of a comical moment, you know, when it happened. You know, you're just kind of shocked. Why? Because there's probably several dozens or thousands of times that we prayed for somebody and it didn't happen. You're like, I don't know what's going on here, but this is what was supposed to happen. So, yeah, it's just how I roll. I never really did well with that, the story of the keep knocking and keep asking. I was like, look, I ain't got all day. You going to do this or not? Now you know why it doesn't happen all the time. That's just how I roll. He hasn't killed me yet, so he must enjoy my sarcasm. Right, that's what he's going. Not really, son. Kind of wishing you'd stop that. Right. So, anyway, we're going to wrap up this, call it a three-part series on current events, and we're going to conclude with the apocalypse. I will balance factual, how I view things, and it's just I'll sprinkle a little bit of sarcasm on it. Because there's a lot of overreaction and some underreaction. And so, as I always say, I try to bring a balanced approach to things, and I have slides. So we're going to go through those, and we're going to talk about some traditional things. And Ben, you can probably just take the lights down to like they were in the music so we can see everything. But we'll have you put the first slide up here in just a second. So what does this mean? Does it really mean anything? We don't know. Time will tell. On average, there are 60 eclipses a century, per century. And guess what? It's always been like that. I pulled up, you know, these guys that will use this, these NASA programs and things, and they'll show you how everything's were, and they'll show you where they are, where they've been, and when they're going to happen, and all this other kind of stuff. And they can go back. And I was going back and looking for significant events in time and history when eclipses happened exactly, and then something very significant happened. You'd actually be surprised that from a straight-up biblical perspective, there's actually not a lot, not as many as you would think. Some would say that what happened with Yeshua on the cross was, however, it says it happened for hours, that the sun was dark for hours. So that couldn't really be an eclipse unless, you know, as it was flying by, God was like, we're going to slow everything down just a little bit and hold it in place for a few hours, and then we'll spin it back up. The modern theory on that one, it was this thing kind of called Apophis. It was random planet that's just flying around the solar system, and it went through in between, kind of like an eclipse, because it wasn't a normal eclipse, because it made everything dark. Plus, we know it wasn't a normal eclipse because eclipses only happen on new moons, not in the middle of the month when Passover is, right? Okay, so every 18 months, there's an eclipse somewhere on the world. It's just the way it works. How often do they form an X? A lot more than you think. And we're gonna get the pictures, and I'll show you all of those and the times and all those here in a minute. In Israel's day, there was a comet, because we're gonna talk about that too, because I know you're familiar with the eclipse, but what about the devil's comet? You heard about that one? Okay, that's actually what it's called. And if you got your glasses on, make sure you have your glasses on, and you look up during the eclipse, you're actually going to be able to see this comet. So it's called the Devil's Comet. Of course, you know that's got everybody going, it's called what? Well, the comet that was over in 66 AD was the Sword Comet, because it looked like a sword or cross. 66 is about when the siege happened in Jerusalem. From 66 to 73, its ultimate destruction was in 70. And then 73 is when the Romans kind of backed out, and then that's when they headed over to Masada to kind of take care of the rest of business. Herod died on a lunar eclipse, and there was a run right before Passover in 4 and 1 BC. So they were close together, right? And that's when they say it was about the time of Yeshua's birth. And that's when they used that to try and say, confirm when Yeshua was born. So there's a couple, but not as many as you think. No big major. All right, for me, this whole eclipse thing confirms creation. And the reason I say that is because the numbers, and if I get the numbers right, I think one of the slides has it later, and that is the sun is 400 times larger than the moon and 400 times farther away than the moon. So it has to be the exact size. If it was any larger, it wouldn't work. If it was any smaller, it wouldn't work in order for that to happen. So it's just kind of a neat thing. But, you know, hey, like all the evolutions say, some random rock just smashed into part of the earth and just stopped at the right place, was the right size, and just started spinning and started smoothing itself out. And I know there's some people going, it's because it's flat, Stephen. That's not true either. All right. So, let's begin. I don't know if I got the right button. I know it worked in Benjamin's hand. Do I gotta go up here? One more time, he says. There it is. So there's our opening slide. This was on from a website. And some of the old people are going to appreciate my little joke here, right? And that is, it all happens on April the 8th, which is Monday, 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 right? That's how they used to advertise on the radio back in the day. That it all happens Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. Come get your car or whatever the place is. So it all happens on Monday, Monday, Monday. We've got the solar eclipse. We've got the devil's comet. We've got the National Guard on alert. None of the policemen are allowed to take off work. And then we've got the cicadas getting ready to pop up out of the ground and eat everybody to death. NASA's going to launch. We've got CERN. Because I've actually had some people go, what is that? CERN is this some kind of collider thing where they're like bouncing atoms off one another trying to replicate the creation of the universe or something, right? I don't know, they're doing something. It's like a 17-mile-long tunnel, and then they do something and bounce things together because they want to see if they can understand the beginning of creation. Well, they're starting it back up on January the 8th. Seems like somebody in the board meeting probably went, we shouldn't do this. And I promise you, if I was in that board meeting, I'd go, no, we're definitely starting it on April the 8th. We're not only that, we're going to advertise that we're going to do it. So why are the people tripping about it? Because they're going to open a porthole, and the devil's comet's coming, and demons are going to pop out, and Nephilim are going to show up at the mall in Miami. And for those who have no, they know. For those who don't, it's okay. And NASA said, hey, you know what? It'd be fun if we just launched a missile right towards the moon during this, so because they're trying to measure sound and they're checking some NASA stuff. So It looks pretty cool, especially like the cicada thing. Okay, they happened when I graduated in high school in 1988. That was their 17-year cycle. And so the reason people are making a big deal about it is because this is when the 17-year and the 13-year cycle meet. So there's going to be a lot more. So you think it's noisy here in the summer regularly, it's fixing to get real noisy. And these things are going to be everywhere. Now, if they come out by, I don't know, quintrillions, whatever the word is, past trillions, okay, and they start eating half the crops and people start dying on the ground because they're being covered by cicadas, I'll go, that's significant. But if it's just, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 more than normal, not such a big deal. But because they meet, and this happens on like a 240-something-8 cycle, so it happens where they all come out of the ground at the same time. So it's going to look a lot apocalyptic if you're in the areas where the both cycles meet at the same time. All right, so that's the fun slide. Remember these? Oh, there it is. When was that? 2014 and 15. So we had Key Lock going for a couple years, and the books were coming out. We went and saw the movie. John Hagee put together a great movie. Had a good history of America and stuff. That's pretty cool. Did well. Okay, so I'm going to go through some of this, and just in case your prophetic knowledge isn't up to par. So this one was in 14 Passover, Sukkot, and then there was another eclipse. Forgot about that one. How come nobody was making a big deal about that one? Because it was over the North Pole. It was over the North Atlantic and over towards Russia. But it happened on the Hebrew calendar first day of the year. Just like the one that's happening now. Because this one that's happening tomorrow is going to be on the first day of the year of the Hebrew calendar. So is that one, and nobody saw it unless you were on a ship in the North Atlantic. I'm saying this somewhat sarcastic, but I'm going to get to the serious stuff at the end, okay? And the reason I'm doing it is because the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And 2014-15 came and went. They even had a chart. Got to have a chart if you're going to teach prophecy. Got to have a chart. No, I thought I blew past one. I think that's the next one. Yeah, it's the next one. So, here we have, thought it was written, maybe it's, nope, right there. Daniel's 1260 days, 3.5 years. You know, dealing with the spring equinox, and then we've got all these days together and added up. Significant events. Oh, here they are again. Here's the number one reason why I didn't think these were going to produce anything. Even though they were significant events, 1492 when Columbus sailed the ocean blue, well, then there were four tetrads right after Israel became a nation. Oh, not right after the Six-Day War, but right in the middle of the Six-Day War. For me, for those kind of things, they have to be kind of consistent. The pattern needs to be the same in order for it to make sense. And I remember at the end of the movie on the blood moons, they had a little discussion, and I would love to see the text or hear the conversation about John Hagee talking to this mathematician who was at the end of the thing, because the mathematician goes, this is going to come and go, nothing's going to happen. He goes, it's not that significant. It happens all the time around the world, and he brought up the same point that I did, which is the pattern's not consistent. If it was four blood moons, then 1492, four blood moons, then Israel, four blood moons, then a war, then that pattern would still be, if it was a consistent pattern, it would make sense. And so at the end of the movie, during the discussion, John Hagee points down, he goes, and that's why he's wrong. I don't know how he's preaching with all the crow. All right? And because in the midst of all of that, we had some more eclipses. Uh-oh. Another one on the Av. The beginning of the year, again, new moons, they happen. And what happened here? Nothing. That's what happened there. Nothing. There's not a significant event you can point to that happened that matched this considered pattern. Is this all Right. Right. Okay. And so then the end of it, we got our pre-tribulation rapture because we had another comet on the first day of Hanukkah. This, I'm doing this because this makes my point of why you don't project. Because now they made themselves into fools again. Okay, what's true? This is Talmudic tradition that says when there's blood moon, there's trouble for the Jews, and when there's solar eclipses, there's trouble for the Gentiles. Maybe. And then comets are times of violent and change. I mean, it was a Halbop comet, came in 1998. I remember I was in Germany when I saw it, and nothing really happened then. You could say, well, it was 3 years before 9/11. Okay. And lest us not forget, 2 years later, the Revelation 12 sign. When it says that the woman would be led into the wilderness, and that she would have a crown of stars around the top of her head. And so that's what they're saying right here was Leo. And then the planet Jupiter was going to go through the woman's womb. Because right here it says great wonders in heaven, clothed with the sun, the moon underneath her feet. And upon her head was a crown of 12 stars. And she carried the child and travailing in birth and in pain and then delivered. And Jupiter was, I think, you know, like the pagan stuff was like the king planet or something. So supposedly she was about to give birth to the coming of the king, and there's the 12 stars. And then they went so far. I don't know how some of these guys have so much time on their hand. But they went through and they put out a video and they put together all the times and all the movies that they said, 23 September, is that when it's going to happen? 23 September? Like, for instance, the movie Noah. You remember the movie Bruce Almighty, then Noah Almighty or whatever it was called? So in that movie, the flood came after he built the next ark, and it was like, he's like talking to God. He's like, is it going to happen on 23 September? And so they strung together all these 23 Septembers. So everybody, not a lot of people are like, there's going to be the rapture on 23 September 2017. Had a chart. Right there it is. Yeah, seven eclipses, seven angels, seven bowls, seven plagues. Oh, there it is again. Daniel, or the 1260, they're going to shorten the days, matching Daniel, 3.5 years. But, Brother Steve, that doesn't have anything on the X's. We've got X's. And don't you know that it's over the New Madrid Fault? Do you not know that an earthquake is going to come? They're out there. This is the number one reason why I sound so critical. I believe in every single gift that the Bible says that we have operation. I do not believe for a fraction of a second in cessationism. But I've had my fill of all the false prophets. I have had my fill. There was a guy that I came across in 2015 when I was first looking into all of this, because as I'm doing today, I did the same thing at the congregations then. We're going to talk about this because we're going to take a balanced look at it. And there was a guy I came across, and it was prophet this, prophet said this, and the prophet said the asteroid's going to hit, and there's going to be a tsunami on the East Coast and a tsunami on the West Coast. And 9 years later, where are we? Nothing. And I finally just got to the place where I had to quit listening to him because I was like, this guy's a clown. And I just quit listening to him. So he was making a big stink in 2015. And now, and saying things like this, New Madrid Fault. So that was August, right before a month before, we had the Revelation 12 sign. But Brother Steve, it's the Olive and the Tav sign. Because not only do we have X's, we have I think this was called an annular eclipse, which is, it's similar to a total eclipse. That was last October, by the way. And it is, the moon is closer to the sun at that point, so the ring is larger. But it was still an eclipse. And what happened? Nobody really said anything about it. I think I was like on a news or a website or something, and it was just like, hey, whoop, there's an annular eclipse. All right, now when you put the X, the Tav, together with the annular, now we have the Aleph Tav. The first and the last, the beginning and the end. This is the end of America because we have forsaken ourselves, forsaken God. And so, how many have heard this? How many came across these guys on the website, right? Yeah, there's a lot of this stuff out there. And some of you got, and by the way, they have a chart. This one, I didn't find the one that, no, 72 months, it didn't have the Daniel. But in this right here, here's the Revelation 12 sign. So it's been 6 years, 6 months, and 16 days. So therefore, that means 666. Pretty sure that's not 666. I'm pretty sure that's 6616. Right. You just, whatever. All right. All right. Brother Steve, one of those X's goes through Salem. Seven times through seven cities, it goes through Salem. From Salem, Oregon, all the way down the coast. So it gives us one of the X's. Okay, do you know how many cities named Salem there are in America? Like almost 40. So you could probably take a curve and just run it through in any given direction, you're going to run through a couple of them. So this has to, it's because it's talking about Jerusalem. And is it on this one or the next one? Oh, yeah. I'm going to have fun with this one. The evidence by Psalm 72:6, which uses Salem as a parallel for Zion, the citadel of Jerusalem. Citadel? Cicada? I don't know. I told you, I used this as an analogy last week. That's how people study the Word of God. I know you think that I'm just being really sarcastic and trying to be funny and cute. That's how people study the Word of God today. They see a word and a letter. I'm still waiting. Are you still going by Billy, or did you take my advice?
No, I'm still going by Billy.
Okay. Well, because his name starts with a B, and Babel starts with a B, and Babylon starts with a B, he's got to change his name because he's obviously a pagan. Right. He babbles a lot. Triple trifecta, 666, you're definitely going to hell. They do. And I've said it, the analogy I used was with music. Matt's got a degree in music. If I tried to convince him that an A minor was a C sharp or whatever, or G, and I just told him that, he would go, it's not. We all know you can't sing, Steve. So we know you know that you, but I just go, I feel it is. I just believe it is. But it violates rules. And so that's how I'm being very sarcastic, but people study that way. Yeah. And then they'll go, well, the Lord, show me that's what it's mean. Well, okay. Well, then his name's Biley. We're just going to make up names and change laws just so you can have a feeling that God showed you something. Here's the other part of the X. We got Nineveh going on. It's the sign of Jonah, don't you know? Matthew 24 says, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the heavens, and it's going through seven towns called Nineveh. And so therefore, 40 days after this X completes, we're going to get our big earthquake, and judgment's going to come to America. Huh. So here's our X. Are they going to start talking about this X in 2052? 7 years after 2045, when there's two more eclipses going through America? Well, no, you big dummy, because we'll be a big smoking hole in the ground. What about the X over Turkey? I had to create this one because I couldn't find a slide. This is the 1999 eclipse. This is the 7 year later 2006 eclipse. Last time I checked, Turkey's still up. Turkey's not a big smoking hole in the ground. My brother Steve, that is showing how Turkey is going to lead the nations into the south. I'm just saying they're out there. All right, what about all those X's? Since 1776, they didn't even include the 2024 one. They don't even include the 2045 or 52 one. That's a whole lot of X's. If I pulled up the one on the globe and rotated it around, you know why they're X's? Sorry if you're a flat earther. It does this, and then it does this, and then it does this, and it does this, and there are going to be X's. 1918, somebody sent me, I saw a clip on Facebook showing the path of how it went through Arkansas. It was in the Democrat Gazette. Now, this was the only time I paused. So the Tav, it does mean sign. Its numerical value is 400. And the fact that the moon is 400 times larger than the moon and 400 times distance, that's the only time I went, well, that's interesting. You know what else made me pause? A 4.8 earthquake on Friday before the 4.8 lunar eclipse or solar eclipse, the earthquake that hit New Jersey, New York area. So it was a 4.8 earthquake. Okay, that made me pause. It's interesting. I didn't build a slide. I didn't or a chart. I didn't build either one. Okay? So this is what it's roughly going to look like. There's also an alignment of planets that's happening right now. Oh, I forgot to put that in the slide. There was also an alignment of planets in 2019, I think it was. And those other planets also lined up during the 2017 Revelation 12 sign. But when you look up with your glasses, you're going to be able to see the devil's comet. And you're going to have this alignment, so if you got some really good stuff, you might even be able to see that if you're in the right location. I think like around my house, I think we're getting 2 minutes and 30 seconds-ish of totality. But I think the guys that are in that really super dark four, getting that full 4 minutes, they're the ones that are going to have the best shot for all of this. And then if you're looking, you might see the rocket that NASA launches up. And then you might see all the Nephilim flying. I'm sorry. That's right. That's coming from CERN. That's right. That's right. This is an image of that comet. That's why they call it the Devil's Comet. Got some horns there. Is that it? Nope. That's just another image of it that you're going to be able to see. That's not a picture. And then this is my concern. I didn't make this. This is what happens when you project things and they don't come true. This is what happens when you prophesy that Trump's going to get reelected and it doesn't come true. This is a mockery of God. And we have internet prophet after internet. Now, I'm not saying I agree with this. I just use this. I don't have anything against these men. I think John Hagee and Jonathan Kahn, well, not sure about that one. But I don't know him well enough either. But these two are fine men. They just got caught up in something, okay? And I just used the slide, again, I'm not knocking them as individuals. It's just a slide that I came across when I was looking for blood moon stuff. It diminishes the name of God. You can take the slides off now. So you're going to be fortunate. I preached for almost 2 hours at the prison this morning. I'm not going to do that to you. Like, you've been going almost 30 minutes now. It's okay. We're going to wrap this thing up in a little bit. And what I told them, well, let me say this, and then I'll come back to that. So what are we supposed to make of all of this? My personal belief, this is going to come and go. I do not have a word from the Lord saying that this is going to come and go, nor do I have a word from the Lord that everything's going to catch on fire and it's all going to blow up Monday afternoon. I hope not. I got some work to do. I got things I got to get done. Some have saying that this could be, since it's the end of a seven-year thing, it was the 7 years of plenty leading into the 7 years of famine. I'm pretty sure that if there was plenty, it was the seven previous years, not the seven we're in right now. Could be. Yeah, definitely not the last. But here's where I put all of this. We don't need to be running around saying this is that. Because they did that in 2015, they did that in 2017, they did that in 1999. Now put it all together, though, is why you should pause. And what do I mean by put it all together? When you put this multitude of signs and in a space of time, it is back to back to back. There's been a lot of stuff astrologically, and Jesus said very clearly there would be sign in the sun and the moon and the stars. I think you can look at these things and go, those are signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. But stop building charts and stop putting dates. That's my thing. I look at this and go, there's a lot going on. I say this a lot. It's the reason. Now, this is the last time until this fall when everything ignites that I will do a current events thing. They're like, didn't you just put a date on it? No, kind of. But we're not going to do anything like this. I stopped the prophecy stuff last fall, but I just felt like with so many things going on, I needed to address all the things that are going on. And we're going to go back to preaching next week. We're going to start talking about Passover and getting ready for Passover. And Billy's preaching the weekend after that. And then the weekend after that is Passover. And then after that, I've had people ask me to teach on how did we get the scriptures? How did they come from? So we're going to put together that kind of stuff. And we're going to teach the Word of God. Amen. And if everything catches on fire in a couple months, really I hope not until like the 1st of June after I get back from vacation, then we'll start addressing things if they start coming up again, all right? But please don't bite off on the latest guy who's got the latest video with the latest sign. I told them at the prisons the same thing I said to you guys in the past. They said this is what was written or this is what was meant when the prophet said. So when the gospel and the New Testament writers wrote after the fact, they went, oh, that's why he performed that sign. That's why he was born of a virgin. And that's why he died on the cross. They put it all together and they wrote after the fact. I do believe we're in that generation. Why do I believe we're in that generation? Because I do believe what the rabbis taught and what the early church leaders taught. And that is 6 days equals 6,000 years of human history. And at the end of that time would be the millennial reign. Why would it be 1,000 years? Why isn't it a 2,000 year? Why isn't it a 100 year reign? There's a reason it's 1,000 years. I believe in that teaching. I could be wrong. And if it follows the trend of last week, that'd be the fourth time I was wrong. So we have to wait and see. But we cannot say that because every time we do that, it diminishes the name of God and it makes us look like fools. It does. Okay, the other reason I believe it is what I'm going to quote. I'm going to recap very quickly the stuff I went over the previous 2 weeks. Hosea 5:15 says, I will return again to my place until they acknowledge their third offense, or their third offense, their offense. That's autocorrect. Their offense, and in their affliction they will seek me. Hosea 6, after 2 days, says it will be raised up. The fact that Israel was reborn 75 years ago, last May. When did Abraham leave Ur? He was 75 years old. Interesting. Am I saying it's this is that? No. It's interesting that we're seeing so many things. Everything is being set up for Israel to say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. It's why I believe America is going to fall because we can't have their back anymore. They have to stand on their own. And we're going to turn on them, which is heaven help us if we do. But something's got to give with all the tension in the world, especially in this country. Because the mainstream media doesn't cover it, you know, like in a lot of major cities, they have to lock up toothpaste now because there is so much theft. Like in California, they passed a law saying if you steal under $1,000, you're not going to be charged with a crime. So guess how much they're stealing, right? And so that's why they're having to lock up all these stores, and it's just the stuff is just anyway. The debauchery, the wickedness, the sickness that's in this country. And if we don't have some sort of massive revival, it's not going to change. The soul of America, the church, is not calling for repentance. I said that, but Jonathan Kahn, what was that guy named? Franklin Graham, when they had all that stuff. But when did they do that? This is part of the reason why I tend to believe that God didn't answer the call, because the call wasn't for repentance. They orchestrated that stuff around the president. I tend to believe that when Jonathan Kahn and Franklin Graham put that together, there was more Trump support there than there was God support. Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think that's why that prayer and that call for repentance wasn't answered. And Dr. Brown calls for repentance. You know, he's got the three R's of his ministry, revival, restoration of Israel, and repentance. And the church is just too seeker sensitive. We got preachers that won't preach together, musicians that won't play with one another, people that leave church over the slightest offense. It's just the way it is. So I've just accepted that's just the way it is. We're in debt to our eyeballs. We've got the whole BRICS thing. We've got the World Economic Forum. We've got food processing plants, train derailments, boats hitting bridges. We've got our cattle and all of our food and all that stuff just seems to be getting hit one right after another. You got Israel, you got Ukraine, you got Sudan, you got Haiti, you got Venezuela, riots in Paris, the farmers in Europe, all of that. We've got enough false prophets in the church to make Babylon jealous. We've got all this stuff about AI, and that stuff's very interesting. You know, I told you last week that Billy could preach 3 weeks on that alone. And if you don't, even if one doesn't believe in God, that stuff's very concerning, because someone, and I said this with a guy that I work with that's he's since now retired, but he was a godless atheist, and he made some comment about you know, all the wars that are started by religious people. I said, wrong answer, sir. I said, the last 100 years, more people died in the last 100 years, and it was all at the hands of godless Democrats. Yep. He's like, and I use democratic socialist, because that's who they were. They were atheists, and they wanted the government to be in control. And you go all the way back to Stalin and Mao and Mussolini and Hitler and all of that. They were godless men. And hundreds of millions of people died in the last century from godless men, not from the Crusades. You put that kind of power in godless men to be able to control mankind. And I heard a guy make a very interesting point. He said, why are all these people doing this? Why are they trying to bring down America? Why are they trying to get a coalition of power? I said, it's because it's what men do. And he says, what do they get about destroying everything? I said, well, one, you think it's just that men want power. And what do they want? They want their name remembered, because they think they're, when they die, they're not going to exist. Nobody's going to remember them. There is no eternity. And so I heard this guy make a very interesting point about people like George Soros and all these guys. And he said, the reason this man wants to bring down this country is because he said history will remember him as the man that brought down America. And he wants his name to go on because he doesn't believe in God. So he has no legacy. And he wants his legacy to be the man that brought down the greatest power in the history of the world. So he'll be remembered. I was like, that's a very interesting take on why evil men do evil things. Now, certain people will go, well, that's because they all worship the devil and they're all trying to bring him in and woo him in, and that's what they're doing with CERN and Bohemian Grove and all these other things. I'm not there. And I believe they're going to accidentally create Babel. I don't believe they know what they're doing. I don't know that they're openly or even quietly worshiping the devil and eating babies and all this other stuff that people are claiming. I think they're just a bunch of godless socialists who are trying to save humanity by the natural means, meaning we got to kill a couple billion of you, otherwise you're going to consume all the resources. So the best way we know how to do that is to shoot you guys up with some vaccines and start a war. And then when you guys kill one another, then what's left, we'll survive, we'll clean up the world for the next generations that we want to go, you but not you, you but not you. And I think that's why this AI and all this stuff is very interesting. Also, again, I'm going through all this again because when you put all of this together with the signs, that's why you got to go, wow, there's a lot going on. You're making me nervous. Don't be. UFOs, UAPs, we talked about that. They keep talking about it. Now, I like the rapture guys taking a hold of this, because once we all get raptured, they're all going to go, the aliens are going to show up and go, we just took them out. Because we've been watching you guys since we seeded you anyway, and we just took them out because we knew they would be trouble. I really hope that's the case. I really do. I don't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, but I also would rather not be here. Red heifers. People doing this about red heifers for a couple decades now. And now we're going, they got three? And they're all 3 years old now? Okay. Okay, now I'm listening. Now I'm listening. But when there was a new one born, and you got to wait till he's 3 years old, I'll pay attention when he's 3 years old. There's three of them 3 years old? Okay, I'm paying attention. So maybe there is some truth to this temple prophecy being rebuilt. We'll watch. And if they, you know, I told you, Hamas said that was one of the reasons why they went in. Because when they landed, when they flew the animals to Israel, they went, these guys are getting serious about this temple stuff now. We got to kill them. And that was one of the reasons why they went in. That came from one of the leaders of Hamas's mouth. You're hearing all the talk about Iran. Iran's being blamed on everything nowadays. Of course, anytime something happens in Damascus, everybody starts getting excited about the Isaiah 17 prophecy. And Israel flew in and took out between two consulates, the consulate of Iran, and took out one of their leaders. Kind of impressive, just saying. They also have a whole lot of friends called Russia, Turkey, Iran, which they already have a pact together. That mimics Ezekiel 37:38. Put it all together, I'm watching. Am I saying this is that? No, but I'm watching. We're about to turn on Israel because we need to have the prophecies of Ezekiel 38 and 39 fulfilled, Joel 3 in chapter 2, where it says that all of the nations that came and took my land and divided amongst themselves, he said, I will enter into judgment with them. They have to stand alone because it says when the war ends and the smoke clears, he said, then the world will know that I am God. We've talked about the Jeremiah prophecy in chapter 16 and in chapter 23, where it says he would send the fishermen and then the hunters. You're not getting the Jews out of the banks in the Hollywood of America without something happening to America. Not happening. And they got to go home. They're either going to die here or they're going to go home. And that's not a stereotypical racist comment. It's just the way it is. They work in, they're doctors, there's lawyers, they work in the music industry, the banking industry, not because they're trying to control the world, because they're smart and they went to school. Because I heard one guy say it this way, it was kind of funny. He goes, why? I saw my brother, he went to school for 10 years to be a doctor, and he makes good money. I saw my other brother, he went to Hollywood and just became an executive, and he makes 10 times as much as this brother. My other brother, he went to school to learn how to be a banker, and he makes 50 times more money, so I don't think I'm going to be a lawyer anymore. It's not because they're trying to control the world. They're smart people. And besides, the blessing of God follows them wherever they go, right? So, remember I also said that the reason I think that the war and all those things are about to transpire is because out of World War I, came the League of Nations, World War II, the United Nations, and out of the Third World War will be the end government, total government. That's why I think it's coming, and I do think it's going to transpire. I do think something's going to happen before this fall, whether it's the big war or something. I just think that from a natural standpoint, they're going to do everything they can to keep the orange man out of office because he does love this country, and he does want to make America great, and I support him for that. But I don't think he's our hope. Repentance and revival in the church is our only hope. And people talk about, you know, like he's selling these Bibles and he does talk about church stuff. Well, watch the other clips. He's still nasty and vulgar. Okay? So he's not a righteous man, and we can say he's a baby Christian and all this other kind of stuff. And of all the political leaders that I'm going to vote for, he's the guy. Okay? Because I'm tired of the guys that are wanting to cut up children and chop them up in the womb. And if they do survive the womb, right, we're going to chop them up and then let them leave little boys and girls and then promote all kinds of debauchery and immorality. I remember that guy, John Locke, and I agree with him when he was going on this rant. If you saw the video, he's running around yelling. He's like, you cannot be a Democrat and be a Christian. I mean, he was just yelling. And I think there's a case can be made, but he, you know, as Dr. Brown says, there's a lot of people say the same thing about Republicans. So, I don't know. Anyway. Remember, and I'm going to wrap up with this, keep an eye on the geopolitical fulfillment of everything. You know, that the story that I tell about how the greatest spiritual event in the history of mankind, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, seemed to be nothing more than just a political event. But it was the greatest spiritual event in the history of mankind. The second greatest spiritual event, which will then trump the first spiritual event, his return, is just going to look like a bunch of wars, leaders, political leaders who will probably dress himself as a messianic figure, who will use religion and may present himself as the Messiah of all religions. I think we need to be paying attention. I think if there was ever a time, and yes, you can make a case for all the stuff that's going across the border, all the people that have come in, And I'm going to say this, and I was going to name somebody today, but I'll not do it. I'll send it out on the Signal app, maybe. If you're wanting to get serious about being ready, then we can have that conversation. But you need to figure out how you need to make sure you're ready. I don't know that I necessarily buy into the idea that you just have to build a big farm and get you 100,000 rounds of ammunition, because we don't know if we're not going to be part of the second Exodus. Because if there's going to be a greater Exodus, which the Scripture says there's going to be, then do we go with the Jews when they start going home? Can we go, hey, can I come with you? I already asked if I could come back in October. They said I was too old. They didn't say that. They just didn't say yes. So, I don't know what the answer is to that. You have to decide what the answer is for you. Right now, we're our little families building a little farm, not necessarily to survive the apocalypse, but we want to be able to grow our own stuff and just kind of live more naturally, since they spray and inject basically everything you put in your mouth nowadays, just to try and be as natural as possible. I do believe that this Monday is going to come and go. That's what I think is going to happen. I think it's going to be another 2015 blood moon, another 2017 Revelation 12 sign. I think it's going to come and go. And then I think when we got our guard down is when it's going to transpire later this summer. I don't know how, as a nation, as more immoral as we are, as broke as we are, with no ethics, you don't survive. You just don't. And you need to figure out how to survive in a country that no longer has the global currency. So you need to prepare your home. Prepare your finances. If you're in debt, you do everything you can to get out of debt. Do everything you can to live as cheaply as possible. Because I just don't believe the nation's going to come out of it. I really hope, I really would love to see a global, definitely global, but a revival in America. But the guys that are out there aren't calling for repentance, as many as there should be, and there's just too many charlatans who just want to make God into the magic man in the sky. They want to make money off of him, and they want to demonstrate healings for the sake of healings, not because we have brothers and sisters who are hurting. And so they even turn healing ministries into magic shows. And so I'm just not sure that that's the answer. And maybe it will come with people whose heart's more pure in that department. But I'm just going to wrap up with saying, please do not be afraid. Now, 3 weeks ago, I was running around shouting about it. I'm not going to do that right now. Because if it is that time and he's about to return, you'll hear me. I promise you, you'll hear me. And that should be your mentality if this is that time. But we got to be mature and make sure that we don't fall into the long list of people that saying this is that what the prophet said when it's not. And then we go around write books and saying 88 reasons why Jesus is coming back in 88. And here we are, the year I graduated from high school, so I'm almost 36 years later. He ain't back yet. So you need to figure out how you're going to live in the nation. And I remember Dr. Wheeler saying, been about 10 years ago now, he said the Spirit of God told him, you better learn how to figure out how to live in a cursed nation. God's got his hand so far removed from this nation right now. And we need repentance and we need revival. And I don't know how it's going to come. I do believe it will come at the end of the judgment or in the midst of it. I do believe people are going to be looking, especially if there's no rapture. And those people are going to be really sorely mad at God, their preacher, for teaching them they were going to get raptured out when they didn't get raptured. And I believe that people are going to cry out just like Israel did when judgment came. And I believe that's when revival will come. What you have to do, prepare yourself in repentance. That's the first thing Jesus said when he came down from fasting, was repent. That's the message of John the Baptist, repent. We constantly, daily have to be making sure that we're not people that are part of the cause of what's going on in this nation. Do we quietly contribute because we watch things we shouldn't watch and say things we shouldn't say? You're like, well, I don't do those things, but do you contribute to them? I don't know. Is your heart really pure? Because it's really what I'm all about right now, is we have to make sure we do a whole lot of self-reflection to make sure that there isn't any sin in the camp, in your house, in your heart. Because I can't control who's prophesying to the nations, to the nation, and trying to get them to repent. All I can say is to those that are in the sound of my voice, that we need to make sure that we are set apart for God. But please don't be afraid. even if it's not the time, don't be afraid. We have brothers and sisters who are giving their lives every day now. And we've been very fortunate to live where we have been, where we grew up. But don't be afraid. Because it's not about the kingdom of America, it's about the kingdom of God. Amen? So Heavenly Father, we bless you, and we just thank you for this time. I know it's a hard word, but we ask to be part of the people that Daniel said that the book would be sealed up until the time of the end, and only the wise would understand. So we pray that we would be considered part of the wise, and that we would begin to understand. But if this is not it, your word says also for us not to be deceived. So help us to make sure that we're not deceived. We don't grab a hold of the next video, the next trend, the next astrological event, and then just find ourselves believing everything and being tossed around by every wind of doctrine. But to make sure that we are solid, that we are grounded, and then whatever it is that you have before us, to live to see the ripe old age or to die a martyr's death, either way that we do that without fear, then when we look at what's going on in this nation, we look and say that we are not afraid because our hope is not in Washington. Our hope is not in America. Our hope is in Yeshua. It's in His kingdom that we are waiting for. And anything that we try to do, even politically, needs to be to establish the kingdom on earth. That's what we should be about. That's what our focus should be. Help us to realize that you have used many nations throughout history to bring about your plan. And America was just another one of those nations, and her time has come. We mourn because it was such a beautiful place, a representation of the kingdom of God on earth, where all tribes, tongues, and nations came together under the banner of the cross, which is what's going to happen in the millennium. So we thank you that we got to be a part and be, and just get a glimpse of what those days are going to be like. But help us not mourn her, but to rejoice in the fact that the King is coming. That your people who you scattered, you have brought back, confirming your word to the world. You have on national television evidence of your faithfulness. So we rejoice in that. So help us to be a voice of reason and a voice of balance. And when it comes time to just let loose because it has become abundantly clear, then give us the faith to step forward and to say what needs to be said. I love you, Lord, and I love these people, and I just love what you're doing in this congregation. And we just thank you that we have the opportunity to come together in Yeshua's name. Amen.